I'm Robin Crane, and this is the Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way podcast. Listen, I was a financial advisor for over a decade, and I got so sick of the old archaic strategies that your grandpa used to get clients. What the industry teaches today is still so outdated and just doesn't work anymore. So I had to find a better way for myself, and then I got obsessed with sharing these how-tos with other women like me. The stuff I teach doesn't require giving up your life, your sanity, or your family time. I want women like you to have it easier than I had it, so you can thrive in the industry. I've now helped thousands of women grow their financial businesses to multiple six figures, some even seven figures per year. So on this podcast, you're going to get an inside look at how they did it so you can do it too. Let's dive into the show.
Welcome. I'm here with Molly Rose Speed, which is already cool that your last name is Speed because it seems like things are really fast in the fast lane with you. But she is the creator of Virtual Assistant Academy and founder of Virtual Assistant Management, which provides trusted virtual assistant solutions and flawless tech execution for busy entrepreneurs. And specifically, we're going to talk all about how you can get time freedom by, or more time freedom by outsourcing.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little about that. I mean, I feel like that's like, it's a big promise, but it makes sense. Like the more you give someone else to do, but I think there's also like a, you know, emotional component to it, especially like the type A personalities around there. I'm not raising my hand or anything, but that are just like, feel like they have to be in control and stuff. So I'm jumping right in, but tell me a little about that. And like, how do you, tell us a little about what you do and all the stuff, but like, let's get into the emotional component of it. Cause that's
kind of interesting to me. Yeah. You hit the big one off the top. So control.
Going for it.
Yeah.
Cut all the bullshit and let's get down to business, Molly.
So I'm under the school of thought where we all started our businesses or went into business, in your case, in the financial service industry, for a reason, right? You wanted to serve your client really well. You wanted to make some money. You wanted to have fun. Hopefully you have a flexible schedule. But then along the way, we end up wearing 27 hats, especially the way that the internet's evolved and we have to do all this online marketing and we don't just knock on doors anymore. So
some do, some
that's
do.
True. That's true. And actually I do appreciate that.
I wouldn't recommend it, but some do for sure. Still, it's crazy.
But you found yourself wearing 27 hats now and you're doing social media and you're doing client calls and you're updating your website and writing blogs and showing up at conferences and all of these things that just are bogging you down. And so there is a solution for that. And it's called hiring an amazing team or having a virtual assistant to support you. The best thing I can say about control, releasing control, is that there is this beautiful outcome on the other side of this. And it'll give you back your time. It'll put you back in your zone of genius. But the big thing that you hit on was, how do you start? How do you start releasing those baby steps? And the biggest thing I want to convey is to get super clear about what and why you need to get things off of your plate. And if you can start to do that, the rest of it kind of starts to take care of itself.
I know I gave you a very loaded question with like eight questions involved in it. I try to just, you know, get you right off the bat to screw you up completely now. But well, I guess I'm bringing it up because there's a few things that I think about with outsourcing. And, you know, I have not a huge team, but 12, let's say, on our team, not to mention all these consultants. But, you know, I have a team doing things and I still, with a team of 12 or whatever, feel like I have 27 hats. Like I wear 27 hats. Like there's still too many things that I'm doing. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I think part of it is like when you first start and you don't have anyone doing any of those things, it's really hard to let go. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, if you have this pending for, you know, the women listening, probably like, let's say life insurance contract and someone else's job is to fill it out and even talk to the client to get it signed. Like, I don't know that they're giving it to get signed, but still it's like, to release that control when there's money on the line or there's like this, oh, I really need the money. I really need the client. Like I don't want someone else screwing it up. So I think there's definitely that fear when it's feels significant. And especially at the beginning when you're giving up, you know, even some of those admin tasks, but agreed, like it is the only way to make more money because the people who still don't have an assistant or people on their team, it's just not scalable.
No.
I remember I had one client once say to me, she's like, Robin, you know, I've hit my capacity. What do I do? You know, she was at, let's say 250,000 a year or something like that. And she was already starting to do it. And her name's April. And I said, April, you're already doing it. You hired a team. Now there is no capacity. Like you, there's no ceiling. Like you can do as much as you want because you have other people doing stuff. Absolutely. And now I had her on a call yesterday and she just wrote her new goal is to do 400,000 this year. And while we're recording this, it's March 1st and she's on track. And I was like, holy crap. Like the first year you came, which was 2 years ago, you did 150,000. You were at 150,000 when we met. Then last year you did 250,000 and now you're going for 400 because now you're not doing everything and it's possible. So what have you noticed as far as like you said, the first step is what and why.
Yeah.
So, walk me through the process. Like, how would I do that? So what do I do or what do I want to outsource or?
Yeah. What do you want to outsource? So oftentimes the business owner or the financial service provider in this case is so busy, it's overwhelmed. They know they need the support, but they don't even have time to identify what they need to get off of their plate. This can be as simple as, this is kind of hokey, but writing down for 2 weeks, everything that you do, you sent the contract to the client, you collected the payment, you had the phone call, you did the social media post, you booked your flight for a conference, you called your mom, you went to your kid's soccer game. I mean, all the things that you do. And then coming back to
I'm totally going to outsource calling my mom. Just kidding.
I'm going in there with it.
No, I like my mom. I'm just kidding.
And then you have to come back to what are all the things that you actually have to do and you want to do.
And want to do, yeah.
You know, you have to call your mom, right? You got no one can do that for you unless it's a total.
My kids are starting to, my kids, 2.5 and 5, like they're getting to a point where they can do it. And I'm like, cool, we'll call Grammy.
We checked in.
Sometimes she has, there's been one or two times where like she's kind of babysitting them by having the be on FaceTime, you know, while they're playing, which is amazing. Cause she wants to talk to them more than me anyway, let's face it. It's a two-way street. So, okay. So what and why, so what are the things that you find? I mean, I know it's choosing what you want specifically, but I do think that's overwhelming. And I do think it's hard for people to decide. So, is there something that you would say, kind of rule of thumb, like here are the things like that's great to start with that we've noticed, like even just these following, you know, 5 tasks or 3 tasks or 8 tasks are like, if you could get someone else to handle these, if you haven't already, like these are kind of the first go around, then it's going to free up your time, more time to make money or more time to spend doing whatever you want to do. Is there something specific like that?
Yeah. In general, the biggest one for me is email management.
Figured, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I argue email in a lot of ways is abuse because of the way people operate inside of it. But, and then there's a whole conversation around trusting someone in your inbox, right? That's a whole process to get someone answering on your behalf and doing all that. But at the basic level, cleaning out all the junk, organizing money-making activities that you need to answer today, and the rest, you know, becomes a discussion between the two of you on a phone call. There's lots of different processes to do that and ways that this can really work. And it's also a great place for a new team member, VA, to come in and learn your business. Everything happens inside your inbox for the most part. So it's a great breeding ground for them to understand everything that goes on and then get comfortable and be able to respond on your behalf. The next thing is scheduling, and that includes checking in with clients and confirming appointments. It just keeps everyone on time and showing up. I'm sure that might be an issue in your market. And then social media. We all hate it. Even VAs, a lot of VAs hate it. But getting that off of your plate, you can't look dead online, even if it's just a LinkedIn post every couple days or every week. I think that that's super important. Depending on how busy you are, travel management can be something that you take off your plate. So you just pop into your Google Calendar and there's your flight and all of your stuff and everything's taken care of. You have the right seat in the right at the right airport on the right airline carrier. I mean, that can make a huge difference. So those are 4 big basic things.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that I think.
Okay. So then this brings to my next objection. I'm handling all my objections right here.
Okay.
So one is like, okay, what the heck do I outsource? So you gave me 4 top things to do, which I think is good. And those of you who are already outsourcing those things, then I think it's just the next part of your list, because that's where I am. Like, I don't manage my email. I don't schedule for the most part. Like, I don't do social media. Sorry guys. I don't typically do social media. Travel, I do. Because I'm picky about how I do that. And right. I know my husband tried to make like what's it called? Like just a document around here's how we like to travel. Like, you know, we're cheap as shit. And then, but we also want, you know, the good seats, but we don't want to spend extra for it. You know, those kind of things.
Yeah. There's a lot of decisions that go into that.
And I feel like nobody cares as much as you do. And like, for some reason they don't seem to find it, but so beyond that, and then it's like, obviously you can go to the next level on the next level of outsourcing. But I think to me, the next objection, quote unquote, is like, well, how do I find someone? I know you have that, but like, how do I like find someone I trust? And I'm not talking about trust them with my email. And like, I'm a very, you know, open person. I don't really mind people knowing everything and anything about my gynecological appointments and whatnot. But, you know, like find, like it is a little bit hard. Like, and I will say even for me to be completely transparent, I was just talking to one of my coaches about this. I'm like, I don't even have an assistant. I have many people on my team that are doing things for us. Mm-hmm. I have someone managing my inbox. I have someone, you know, client success manager. I have a lot of people on my team. My COO does a lot of stuff for me. And so I don't do a lot of those type of things. But one of the reasons we didn't get me an assistant is because I'm kind of like, I wouldn't call myself high maintenance, but high urgency. Like I tend to just want everything yesterday. And like, I mean, there's stress like around person. I mean, you guys, of course, think I'm never stressed, but I mean, you know, and things, it's like, I got to find someone who can anticipate my needs, not just like do what I tell them to do, because I don't know what I want half the time. I actually want someone to anticipate my needs. And Ashley who's my COO. She's great at that. She comes to, we're running events and she's like, she has the water in my hand before I'm thirsty. You know, it's like, thank God. Like she knew I was going to be thirsty, you know, and she does those things. It's like so amazing. So how do you find someone like that? Not just that'll do what you tell them to do, but that, I hate to say, has a brain, but like that really thinks for themselves, not too afraid to make mistakes, that'll actually help you manage them, because I'm a bad manager. And I don't trust myself to manage anyone.
Yeah. So
I feel like I'm on the couch again. Like I need like a little bit of a therapy session here.
So you
organization stuff, just so you know, it's like really like
you hate it. Yeah.
Friend. Yeah.
Which is most of my clients, you know, they're creatives. I call them squirrels. They're like,
I'm a squirrel
races before you can even get done with the conversation. But
yeah.
So you just described the unicorns. They're out there. I hate that term, but people say that to me all the time. These are tenured people that you'll find. I don't have an answer for this because they're few and far between, humans that can come and be so invested that they can think before you can think. Mm-hmm. I am this for several clients, so I totally understand what you're describing. I work for people just like you. I've trained 140 virtual assistants, and there are probably 14 of them that I would say are in this camp. But if clients come into us and they have these demands and like,
I need a unicorn, sign me for a unicorn.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is rewarding those types of people, recognizing that they're hard to find, that the people that really care. I mean, I care about my clients' businesses more than they do sometimes. Like it's just, it's like my baby, just like them. So, I think it comes if you're open to it and set up to pay someone in that capacity to be able to jump when you say jump. And I think a starting point for that, along with, you know, being super clear and how do you find someone, you kind of ask that question. You can certainly use agencies. We're all out there. Don't ever pay for one that's like, okay, I'm going to buy 5 hours of someone's time and you have no idea who it is and you're not going to interview them. Like don't waste your time with that. But I also think our networks are so vast and so robust and people know you that also know assistants. So if you're clear with what you need and you put it out there in an email to your, I call it a Power 100 list, or you put it out into your social media, I'm hiring, this is what I need. And you're very specific and you're actually describing this role of this person that can jump before you even say jump. They might know people that are like that. And I see a lot of good come out of just using referrals for placing jobs like this.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Cool. So what else do I need to think about with outsourcing that you might add to that? I feel like I had another question, but I lost it.
I think when you start to hire, the onboarding process can't be overlooked. Like I said, you're already wearing 27 hats. So you're very, very, very busy. And you're a lot of times so busy to even get on the call to interview someone and then to also onboard them. So before you even go down that path by making that investment, make sure that you have the time to have your 2-hour call where you can get them all their credentials, get them set up, explain your mission and your vision and your expectations. And then I'd also share, I look and I train virtual assistants to be the expert. Like, we are the expert admins in the business. So like you said, we should be coming to you with the solutions. Like, this is really jacked up. Can I go fix this process for you? And of course, mm-hmm. if you're a client, you're going to say, please. Yeah, go ahead. What do you need? You know, those are the people.
Yeah, because I think that's a really good distinction, because I feel like that is the thing. It's like, I'm not good at this. If, I mean, there's some people for sure, even especially I'd probably say financial advisors that are more organized than me for sure. Like, you know, very, very entrepreneurial. And I think, you know, some are, and even some of the entrepreneurial types are into that. But I would say for the most part, not so much. Like, they're not the most organized people on the planet. They're especially the ones who are the successful ones. They're the go-getters. They're the, you know, rainmakers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then I have hired assistants in the past, virtual assistants and whatnot. And it's like, they just want to know, what are the tasks? What do I do? And I'm just not good at that. Like, if I was good at that, I mean, I would say I wouldn't need you, but even if I was good at that, I should outsource it and need you. So that's not necessarily true. But so you said where to find them. As you said, go to the people that you know and to your list and whatnot. Is there something you recommend as far as like how to attract them and like what to say when it comes to an ad or a post or something to try to find that person?
Yeah, I think having the clear job description is super, super, super important. So not only all the tasks that you're eventually going to want them to know or the skill sets, but where are they starting, right? You're probably not going to bring someone in and fire hose them with all of these things, but them seeing like, okay, we're starting here. These are all the things I'm going to need to know. So you're getting the right person off the bat. That's super important. I don't think you need to run like a specific Facebook ad or anything like that. But I see a lot of results out of posting on Facebook, my Facebook wall, that I'm hiring someone, have a little Canva graphic, have my job description, and I'm very, very specific with how I want them to apply for the job. Like, I put things in there, like,
yeah,
email me at this email with this subject line. So you're already,
because right. if they miss that, I've gotten those, they spell my name wrong. And it's like, right. my email is robin@robincrane.com. And it says it twice, and yeah. then it says R-O-B-I-N. And I'm like, dudes, come on.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, people apply and we say submit a video and they don't submit a video. I'm like, you're not even paying attention. Yeah. There's no attention to detail. So I like right. that. Those are like,
so that weeds it out.
Little hoops. And
I want to share one more thing. I think the term assistant, if I could go back and change it, I would in my own business, but it's such a buzzword that it helps anyway. But what you're explaining is really an operations manager or an operations assistant. You know, using that word, I think, is also very, very helpful. So you're not just getting a general admin. It's someone that can certainly do all of that and do it very, very well, but has this higher ability and this higher drive to like be the director of ops within your business under your COO. You know, that kind of role is what they're BAs. They're still assistants. But
what should they be prepared to pay for that? Like, what's the range?
Yeah. So depends on if you hire a direct or through an agency, but post-COVID, general VAs, I'm not seeing for less than 25 an hour stateside. It's a great level. It's great. And then as you get more advanced, it's between 35 and 50 is kind of the range I'd expect to pay for something
okay.
like that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, give us one more piece about, you said outsourcing, I kind of veered from that, but like not outsourcing, excuse me, onboarding. As yeah. far as onboarding, give me just like, what are the main components that they need to remember as far as you said 2 hours or whatever, but like what, cause I know a lot of people are like, okay, I know I need an assistant. I don't think they're going to ever have the time to get an assistant, which is why they need an assistant. So it's really, to me, it's not like, do you have the time? It's like, are you willing to make the time so that you can explode your yeah. business? Because if you're doing, as I call, I think this is to the technical term, stupid shit, then yeah. you need to stop doing that. And then you need someone else to do that so that you right. can actually grow. And if you're doing the stupid shit, then there is no way you're going to be able to do the smart stuff that's going to help you get there. So you have to prioritize it. You got to make it a point. Like, it's not easy the first time you hire, or if you're hiring a new person, you probably don't have the money and you probably don't have the time.
Yeah.
So let's assume you make the time, then what do they do in that first onboarding, or what are the most important components, or what are the other things as far as like really bringing someone on so they can be successful that are just like key elements, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. So I used to say 90 day on ramp. It's too long. 60 day on ramp. And being, having a conversation about those 60 days, like it is a trial period for both of you, right? You want feedback, they want feedback, and be open to that when you get on calls with them. And so to lead me to my second point, you have that onboarding call, credentials, you know, there's nothing worse than third-party verifications when you're working with a client, like get all of that out of the way. If you're trying to log into something and it sends you a code to your phone and then they're waiting and then they're, I mean, it can go on for weeks. I've seen that happen. So getting all of that technical stuff out of the way and then setting up a cadence. How often are you going to talk? Are you going to check in? And they're non-negotiable. Like you have to be on those calls and have the structure in those calls to be able to say what's going well, what needs to change, and then go do it. Mm-hmm. I think that it just sets up a clients and VAs that do that. The foundation is set and it's on to the races, off to the races after that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. This has been great. So tell them where to find you.
So I'm Molly Rose Speed on all social channels. If you're looking to hire a virtual assistant, it's virtualassistantmanagement.com. And my academy is virtualassistantacademy.com.
And is the academy to teach them how to do it? What's the academy?
Yeah, the academy certifies virtual assistants. Oh. It'll teach you the whole business side and then all the tech.
If they want to become a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
So basically if they have someone who think is a good candidate, but they don't necessarily know all the tech and stuff, they can go through your program.
Come to me. Yep. Yep.
All right.
I'll polish them up for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Molly. And thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on Growing Your Financial Business the Woman's Way. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.